you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Here you go, Matt. Here you go, Danny.
Afternoons on the Score.
I apologize for being late. I was just upstairs with Reverend Jesse Jackson.
I mean, what vibes around this Bears team?
Tremendous.
Just Nick Saban one day, Jesse Jackson the next.
Uh-huh. Guys, I'm sorry I was late to the meeting. I was downstairs having coffee with former German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Oh, sorry, wow. Why was she in town?
Is she former?
I believe so. She current still?
Who got her?
I don't think she got.
Yeah, former Chancellor. Yeah. She retired.
Yeah, she retired. Come on, man.
2021.
I think I'm not helping my German chancellors. As fearful as I am of a unified Germany?
Damn, she retired at the age the majority of U.S. politicians start.
I know.
70.
Right. She just had a good run of reasonable leadership and then retired to enjoy her latter years.
She should come here. She should come here and run one over here. Tanny, why were you late to the meeting?
Merkel 2032.
Who were you hanging out with?
I actually wasn't late to the meeting. I was on time, and the meeting started late.
These
guys were all late.
You were right
there, too, Speech.
I was
there.
On time.
Yeah, no, we were late. We were upstairs with Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, thawing. We were actually doing some thon work.
Oh, you did some thon work
with Rudy G.
Gotcha.
Just caught him with a stripper.
That was what it was. That was what it was.
Oh, I love Chris Christie. My favorite part of Borat. Fun fact about Jesse Jackson, if I may.
There aren't any.
Well, no, I got one.
He's got the one.
Tributosaurus was once playing a gig at Navy Pier's Grand Ballroom, and we were on stage for the NATO summit that was here in Chicago. And 99 Luftballons was what we were playing because they wanted some 80s tunes. So our singer Ingrid was up there and 99 Luftballons was going in. And Jesse Jackson walked in and was digging it like hardcore, like standing there vibing, shaking his entire body. It was like, all right, Jesse loves either Ingrid or 99 Luftballons. We're not exactly sure which.
Is that a band or the song 99 Red Balloons?
99 said Luftballons. It's the song by
the Ramones, right?
Nope.
And I love the song.
Yeah.
I do. It's got a great beat, and it's a lot of fun. I like the way they sing it.
It was a German pop song in the 80s that a lot of people will know. So I decided to go. Yeah, Nina.
Okay.
99 Red Balloons. Jesse Jackson, big fan. Just wanted to share.
No, it's a good fact.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Worked with Dr. King, fan of that song. I don't know.
Side by side.
It's tough to know.
Mm-hmm. Coffee with Matt Eberflus.
Coffee with Matt Eberflus. What do you think is the most interesting thing on the song?
There it is.
Dude, Jesse. Not this part yet. Because it was,
Time.
Sorry for not dreaming into the exact part that the great reverend was vibing.
Yeah. Jeez, Tanny.
Wanna have coffee with Eberflus.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That doesn't count as
a song. It's getting there. It's getting there.
99 Red Balloons go bow, bow,
bow, bow, bow, bow, bow, bow, bow. This is it.
Yeah.
Jesse was like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'd be with him, dude. This is a banger.
Hell yeah.
The Ramones version is better, by the way. So is the ska version by Goldfinger, all better than the original.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Jesse vibing hard in the Navy Pier Grand Ballroom. That's right, man. I think
I'm really impressed with this name drop by you. This is very impressive.
Yeah, I'm not dropping names. It's just my life.
It's just your life.
Yeah,
exactly.
I apologize for being late. I was just upstairs with Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Hey, speaking of Germans, Flula just texted me.
Yeah!
No way!
Hey. Young guys, you have fun?
Is he worried about Team USA basketball?
He apologizes for missing his Olympic hit last week. Missing the text about the Olympic hit last week.
Okay.
This is perfect.
He'll be on next week.
My God.
All right.
And also, Jay Zawoski thought he saw him in Chinatown today. So I texted him, hey, are you in Chinatown? And he said, I very much wish I was enjoying Chicago-style hot dogs and old styles in your city. But I am not.
Oh, wow.
We have more German touchstones to talk about with Flula now. We've got Nina and 99 Luftballons. We've got the German basketball team. And we've got my coffee with Angela Merkel as well to discuss.
I love this show's stupidity that Jay Zawoski thought he had a Flula sighting in the wild, and that led you to actually text him. And he's like, no, I'm not there. Okay, well, next time. Do you want to take a call real quick since I asked for him and I don't want to upset Shane?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Sure.
Ty is in Waukegan, and he's on the score. What up, Ty?
Hello, Ty.
Hey, guys. Well, real quick, I just wanted to say I'm a big – I listen all the time, huge fan, and I'm all in on the Bears. Well, first, I'm all off on the White Sox. I just blacked out my White Sox tattoo on my hand and changed it to a 15 and an 18. So I'm all in for Rome and Caleb and the Bears. And the feeling that I've just had for so many years being a Bears fan of just misery and disappointment – I just feel peace and excitement, and I'm looking forward to it.
Dude!
Thanks for taking my call.
That's what I'm saying. It's almost spiritual. It is. Yeah. And that's right? And that's where I was after Hard Knocks. And I know it's manicured good vibes PRTV, but it just, I mean, shoot it into my veins. I needed it, and it's like just increased the positivity. A texter said,
I want to see that tattoo. Hold on a second. He had a White Sox tattoo that he has converted to a 15 and an 18 for Rome's number and Caleb's number.
Wow.
I want to sit there for a second.
Okay,
That takes a tremendous amount of artistry, and I don't know. I mean, Shane has the AL Central championship tattoo that they never won for the White Sox. I don't know what he could possibly convert that into.
Just the next year that he thinks they're going to win.
Yeah, 2042. Mm. Yeah, but the idea of other people just like, I'm done with the White Sox. Here's my proof. The tattoo is gone. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on Caleb and Rome there, though. I guess
to live up to the tattoo.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess not really if you're just replacing a White Sox tattoo.
And he can just change it again if anything goes wrong.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
I mean, it'll just get bigger and bigger.
All right, so he's feeling your vibes.
Yeah, and a texter had said, I like the Bears so much more after that episode of Hard Knocks. I don't know why George ever stood in the way. I mean, we knew it was stupid for them to be standing in the way.
Well, a show like that, yes, because it is so carefully, you know, curated and all of that. But this is also objectively the best the Bears have been on the field in, I mean, I know they had a 12-win season in 2018, but that was an out-of-nowhere thing. What do you think? Like 2012? Since you really felt this good about the collection of talent on the Bears, you probably got to go back more than a decade.
I think you're right.
Especially on the offensive side of the ball.
And you feel pretty darn good about the fact that they have, let's see, great new facilities up there that Ryan Pace helped build. So we're, what, 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
A GM you really respect who's on the come and has a really good track record so far.
And is pulling off or in the midst of still cashing in on one of the great NFL trades ever. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I feel like every single day on social media, I see some NFL aggregator account be like, oh my God, can you believe that the Panthers got Bryce Young and these are all the things that the Bears got for that? You know, so Ryan Poles is very respected right now across the league.
Yeah, and even though you know, people have their issues with Kevin Warren, they have a team president. They have a team president who's playing the political game, to a certain degree, obviously. And it's also just, it's not Ted Phillips walking around there, man. It's not that. Like,
well, it's not uniformly negative on Kevin Warren at all. Some of us find it to be pretty phony and transparent, but others are like, hey, this guy's credible with a good resume, excellent speaker, and they're excited about the stadium.
And you point higher than Ryan Poles, you get to that guy. You used to point higher than the GM, and you'd get to a weird, dysfunctional McCaskey family that you did not trust. And you still get there, maybe, but you didn't get there in episode one. I don't know how much you're even going to get there.
Yeah, and I wasn't surprised. I knew that Kevin Warren was going to be all over this show. And so he's in episode one in the room where he's going over the contract for DJ Moore. Does he need to be there for that? No, he doesn't. That's Ryan Poles and his capologist person. Like, you know, that he doesn't need to be in that room.
He's inserting himself into that room.
But But having said all of that, he's going to do something way cringier, so I'm not even going to be very critical of it.
Yeah.
You know, like that's just, okay, we're giving out the largest contract in Bears history, and the president is going to ask some questions about the contract.
Yeah.
Okay. Like that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, that's a 1.5 or 2 out of 10 on my Kevin Warren inserts himself unnecessarily into a scene scale.
By the way, earlier in transition, I referred to the new material from just the night before, and I talked about the game. That's not what the new material was. The new material was Jonathan Owens watching his wife on the balance beam. And the floor exercise.
Yeah.
Because that was new. That was literally the night before. That was Monday night on Olympics primetime.
Well,
it happened Monday afternoon.
Monday afternoon,
yeah.
In Paris.
So that was one day removed to end up in the Tuesday episodic TV show.
Yep.
So that was an interesting thing in terms of the timeline.
Still plenty of time, though. I mean, that's... Yeah. 30 hours to turn that around.
30 hours, and it was just that portion at the end of the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, pretty easy.
And they were filming him watching it. But I thought even that stuff, man, because like Jonathan Owens made news in a bad way a few months ago by being a podcast guest, and like a lot of people turned on him thinking that he was talking about Simone in a disrespectful way. I thought even that stuff was like a guy lovingly supporting his wife, doing like having the scorecard in the stands in Paris with her parents. Is he like, oh, I'm thinking that this is where the judges are going to go as he's keeping score along. Like, even that stuff was lovely.
It was. It's
wholesome.
It was wholesome. Yeah. It was all lovely. Yeah. It's PR. It was nice. And it followed the formula. It hit the notes. And, yeah, they're going to – it's not really – even though you loved it as much as you did, and I'm pretty hyped for it as well, it's not really for us. It's for the masses. It's for more casual fans. It's to get people hyped for football. It's not really for us.
That was my argument on the trailer.
I know.
I understand what you're saying, but I think what I'm saying is like the TV show. I think is also for us. No, I definitely think it is. It's what we get to go next level. We get to go next level with this stuff.
Sure.
You know, we've known about the glow up for months, and to find out that it was all his wife, it was 100% his wife, and Ryan Reynolds is the comp for Matt Eberflus, like that is for us to take it to a different level.
Kevin is in Miami. He's on the Parkinson Spiegel Show. What up, Kevin?
What's up, guys? So I thought the first episode was really hard to watch, and it gave me a lot of concern for our team this year and into the future. So
really?
Even with all the talent, the management, it's incredible. But this is why we're still screwed. We learned a lot about Matt Eberflus. Did you guys know he got a new haircut 15 months ago? You know, I'm so sick of hearing about this haircut. Guys, you see your buddy with a haircut, you tell him it looks nice, you move on. He's a nice person, but he's mundane. He's very coachy. He's a coach in training. But what really gives me concern is we had an 8-23 record, 2-9 versus the division. Not entirely his fault, but here it is what is his fault. He is terrible at game management. He's blown multiple double-digit leads while still winning the turnover battle. That's historically bad.
What does that have to do with the show?
It's hard to watch because we're just kind of sitting around with all this great talent. And I still see this guy that was the head of the pyramid that we replaced the OC, QB, defensive coordinator, and he's still there, and we're talking about his haircut.
Okay. All right. So you came in with your thoughts. I don't know how that – I guess the show – so for you, it hammered home the fact that that Eberflus is here for reasons you don't agree with, essentially.
It sucks because it's going to throw a wrench in our long-term and short-term because we're eventually going to have to get rid of this guy. And Caleb is going to get into that swing of new offensive coordinators, new coach. But at least Eberflus has a nice little fade. It looks really great. So it's kind of hard to watch all that.
David, I don't know if you saw the show. He looks like Ryan Reynolds. Thank you for the call.
Well, I think those opinions are things you had well before the show and will exist for a good long time. And I hope you enjoy your cynicism, sir. Yeah, you can enjoy that. I think it's entirely plausible and possible that this thing works out with Caleb because he's great. And because yes. he and Shane Waldron are, they make lovely music together.
Well,
and then Kerry Joseph steps up if Shane Waldron gets popped up, you know, scooped up or whatever. Or like Justin Herbert, as mentioned a million times, he's really good with a bunch of different coordinators over the course of a few years if he happens to be really good.
Yes.
So I'm not gonna waste my time freaking out about that issue. But well, Kevin is more than welcome to.
It's funny because I agree with his premise. I have said I would have fired Eberflus to hire Ben Johnson or the best offensive coach that you could have to align head coach and quarterback
yes.
because it just removes one layer of an offensive coordinator leaves, turmoil, turnover, or even a head coach leaving if you underachieve this year. Like, Caleb ain't going anywhere. Ryan Poles isn't going anywhere. Matt Eberflus is the most likely person to be a fall guy if this thing underperforms. Mm-hmm. And that is we've seen it happen before. We saw it happen with Matt Nagy, with Justin Fields. We've seen it happen with Mitch Trubisky and John Fox. Like, sure. We've just seen it happen before. So I would have started their clocks at the same time.
I totally,
me personally.
I totally understand that. And I share the the high-end ceiling. Dream ideal is that you have Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, or you have yeah. Mike Holmgren and Brett Favre. You have Bill Walsh and Joe Montana. You have, you know, you have your offensive guru and your quarterback lined up, and they grow together, and you have a decade of that, of course. But I also really believe that a football coach is about more than the quarterback, that a football team is about more than the quarterback. And if the quarterback's great, then D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud ought to be able to make very beautiful music for quite a long time as a defensive coach and a quarterback.
Yes.
And there's no reason that Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams can't be that.
That is absolutely what Ryan Poles is betting a significant amount of his capital on. I think it's crazy to suggest that Matt Eberflus could be the first head coach fired. There's no way that happens. Bears have never fired a coach in season, and if they were going to fire him at the first sign of turbulence, they would have done it to align him up with Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. Ryan Poles clearly, genuinely believes in Matt Eberflus.
Yes, he does.
So if we trust him on Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams and Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and DeAndre Swift and Montez Sweat and contracts for Sweat and Jalen and the Brisker pick and the Tyreek pick, there should be some level of goodwill that buys in the fact that he didn't fire Eberflus mm-hmm. when it was a pretty easy case to make to fire the guy. Couple of coaches fired in scandal. You got the number one pick. You're going to draft a quarterback, put them on the same timeline together, go hire the best offensive coach possible.
Yeah.
Pretty easy case to make. He didn't make it.
No, he didn't make it because he does like him, does believe in him, and he's got a team full of guys who have played hard for him.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't see a scenario that exists where Eberflus is fired in season. Like, I think that is a virtual impossibility. After the season, if this thing is like a 6-11 disaster,
yeah. I could see that possibility, but I think I am clearly I've carved out a lane. I am living there. I am the most enthusiastic of anybody on this air staff.
Yeah, we know.
No,
we know.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah, enthusiasm. We're gonna get to see it, man. We're gonna see Caleb
on Saturday
against the starters. For the Buffalo Bills. And you know me, I'm risk averse when it comes to playing these guys in the preseason, but you got to do it with this guy. You're going to need reps at some point. I personally would do it as little as possible and just work them through the mechanics of calling plays, getting out, quick passes, handoffs, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I still would be very conservative with what I would expose him to. But I can't wait. I hate preseason football. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
It genuinely feels like the beginning of something because that isn't curated. You know, they might script plays or whatever, and they're not really game planning for the other team. But it is Caleb Williams is going to play football for the Chicago Bears on Saturday.
Yeah, he is.
Whatever version of it is very, very, very exciting.
We get a chance to look at how he functions with the offense. Hopefully, procedurally, they're okay. We'll get a chance to watch the body language and watch him relating to the teammates. And we'll see some throws. We'll see some throws, as simple as they might be. And maybe there's going to be one play. It's going to be one play where he extends,
maybe.
He's outside the pocket, and he makes a throw, and you're like, oh, my God, did you see?
You think we can do an hour on that one play on Monday? I think we can do it.
I've heard us before.
Yeah, we could do it.
We could do that.
If there's anyone who could do it, it's us.
I'm remembering the show where Justin Fields said it was starting to slow down for him in preseason.
What a show that was.
We just got a really good Howie functions from Speaks.
Howie functions?
Our guy Howie.
Yeah.
Can't avoid parties.
I bet.
Always at a party. Damn. I've got to go to that function.
Howie functions.
Howie's here again, guys.
Man. Hey, guys.
This guy never stops.
He goes to every charity ball in any downtown hotel.
Howie.
Howie functions is there. Absolutely
it's
does.
A good event planning name.
It's a bar mitzvah Howie on the functions. North Shore.
Danny and I caught it right away, and I was like, oh, man, too serious of a topic for me to jump in right now.
No. Good job waiting. Good job waiting.
Never.
I saw our friend Jay Zawoski, the aforementioned, tweeted earlier that his girl, Erin Watershow, had finally come here to the lakefront. It's time for Erin Watershow.
She's a one-trick pony. One-trick pony.
Always surprising when she shows up, though. I never know.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You guys thought we were getting bombed this morning, right?
Oh,
I always forget.
Yeah.
Always
every time.
Forget. Yeah.
Oh, I hope it's water show weekend.
Yep.
Hey, what did you say about Team USA, by the way? You said something about like them being really good. And
best basketball team ever assembled. Yeah, better than
Dream Team. Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're down 13 after three quarters.
Yeah. To Jokic.
To Serbia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jokic and Bogdanovic
and
all those guys.
Well, it's still possible that the two statements are not in complete conflict.
How's that exactly?
I'll come up with that argument over the course of this break.
And that's why the Lord invented these breaks.
It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Fans, they don't like them.
Afternoons on the Score.
Yeah, we'll see if I mushed America. We'll get back to that whenever the game goes final.
I mean, did you say something about America like 40 years ago? Because it has felt mushed for a good long while here, frankly. Now, you weren't alive,
I'm talking about important things like basketball.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, things that matter, Speaks, you know, that impact a lot of people.
No, you love things that matter, especially from spring training.
Oh, it's my favorite. It's my favorite. Every year when spring training rolls around, I'm like, these are the days where you get into the business. You just can't get enough of it. So are you hard knocked out? Do you have anything else in your notebook here?
I got plenty.
You got plenty?
The Saban stuff was so great.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It just like it's really thoughtful and excellent advice from Saban. And I like where you talked about what you need is a transformational leader as opposed to a transactional leader. So Caleb needs to be a guy who doesn't just tell people they did a good job on a good play. He needs to be talking to them after a bad play like that kind of thing. I thought that was really cool. And then the simple thing that he said to Eberflus, which, according to the way they edited it, he started doing, standing behind the quarterback. Standing behind the quarterback and watching everything from behind the quarterback's perspective so we can talk about it with him. Even if because quarterback's going to do most of his conversation with the offensive coordinator and with the quarterback coach, Kerry Joseph, not Corey Joseph. Nobody would think
good
that
job.
Mistake.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I like seeing Eberflus. So, like, the fact that Eberflus is an earnest dude is like, I still got plenty to learn here.
I couldn't tell if the editing on that suggested that he wasn't behind the quarterback, and then he did after Saban said it, because it's pretty standard. pretty standard for coaches to stand in that area behind quarterbacks in practice. So I didn't get the sense that that was a completely new thing.
Be a great follow-up for a media person to ask.
Yeah. And, well, and the other thing that I did talk about yesterday after the show, when Saban said, you know, it takes a while, but the expectations are for right now. And Flus was like, yeah, you know, there's development, and then there's improvement, and then there's mastery in year three. I don't know, man. Like, I'm not saying that there's not development and improvement still coming for C.J. Stroud. Obviously, there is. But
sure looked like mastery last year.
At times. And I want to know, this team's supposed to win. So I would be very interested in like a few follow-up questions with Flus on what you're saying, development, improvement, mastery. But you guys are supposed to win when he's developing. Which one is more significant? What are you putting the emphasis on? Mm-hmm. What is unfair? Are these expectations unfair? Do you think they're unfair? Because I don't think they are. I don't think a winning record or the playoffs or 4,000 yards or 25 touchdowns. Like I don't think that's unfair for the team or Caleb Williams.
I don't think all of those are in the same ballpark for me. Like if the winning, I don't think the winning is unfair. I don't think the playoffs is unfair. 4,000 yards, stats being as dependent as they are on game situation, and if the team is good and they can actually run the ball and they have a decent defense, they might not need to get as many yards.
But so, don't you think that Saban would say playoffs is a ridiculous exploit based on what he said in the episode? Playoffs with a rookie quarterback in a division that has the Packers and the Lions? Don't you think that Saban would say that is outsized and unrealistic for a rookie quarterback based on how he was delivering that message to Flus? So
I don't know, but that's such a team goal, though. I'd be interested to hear how Saban would delineate what is a team goal and what is really a quarterback goal, you know? I think we lose that, and like I mean, quarterback wins are often silly as a stat,
of course, and
that is true during the course of a full season. And the only reason that we're allowing ourselves to be excited about the possibility of playoffs is because of the completeness of the roster. That it's not like rookie has to come in and transform everything. And if there's going to be articles saying that he transformed everything, but the defense is playing well and the receivers are good and everything, I'll be pushing back hard on this idea that quarterback transformed everything in this case.
We'll have an idea, though. There will be an eye test component to that.
Yes.
There will be an eye test component
to that. And that eye test component that we're going to get to live through contextually is going to matter a hell of a lot more to me than whether it's 3,600 yards or 4,000 yards.
Yeah, I agree with you. Andy is in Wisconsin. What's up, man? You're on the Score.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Two quick things. From the Hard Knocks, one of the favorite takeaways I had was when Caleb said to DJ, he goes, "You find green grass, and I'll find you." I thought that was outstanding. But going back to the last caller, who was a little upset about Flus's hair, I look at the whole Flus thing as refreshing. I'll tell you guys why quick, because he noticed that he had a change, you know, when it came to his press conferences, you know, because he knew that he was not a good representation in a press conference. So we made a huge effort to change it. Our past coaches, like Nagy, never would change. Now, he also changed his hair because of his wife, whatever the case is, but also recognition that change has to happen.
Yes.
And I just think, guys, that is so refreshing as a Bears coach, and I'm so looking forward to this season and just want to hear what you guys think about that. Thanks a lot, and go Bears.
It's a great point because it's not just refreshing for Bears coaches. It's refreshing for men in their 40s and 50s. Like and
change, it's a sign of emotional intelligence, adaptability, all that stuff.
And we watched Matt Nagy stay exactly the same dude with the same football belief systems the entire time he was here. And it made us all crazy and made his press conferences freaking death because he was so full of his own brand of Hungarian stubbornness. Yes, dude, Flus absolutely... I mean, I told you, I remember when Mully at one point early last year was like, who's coaching up the coach? Somebody has coached up the coach in terms of how he presents and how he talks about things. And good for him for knowing he needed to do that. That's part of the job. And if the wife steps up and helps with, you know, as your personal stylist, I mean, look, I have a wife who's also my personal stylist, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
and you look good.
Does your wife help you as your personal stylist?
This is all natural, buddy. This is all my vision.
Didn't she help though with your Colin Cowherd filling outfits?
I'm being facetious. Yes, of course. Yeah, she picked the shirts for the Colin Cowherd appearances. Yes. Yeah, she tells me how long she likes my hair.
They're better at this stuff than us.
Oftentimes, yes.
You know, that is the case. Longtime Score listeners will remember this really kind of jackass facial hair thing that I had going on. You remember my
man cow?
Oh, your soul patch?
Yeah, my
your soul patch and goatee.
Yeah, my soul patch chin tee. It was like a chin tee. It wasn't a full goatee. I was committed to it. I went with it for a long time, and now I do not go with it. And I think I've reached a better thing.
Yeah, yeah, you look good.
Much more natural thing.
Yeah.
So
where's the hat though?
Where is that hat?
that did not last very long.
It didn't.
Who
it didn't.
Got to you?
Nobody. It's just hard to wear when you're riding a bike. When you're riding a divvy bike. Right.
When you're wearing Sonys.
It's hard to wear in here when you're wearing Sonys.
Yeah.
So. But,
I
haven't worn it in other circumstances that much either.
Oh,
no, it was a phase.
A Cub game here a couple times.
I wore it to breakfast a couple of times.
Oh, God.
It's
you can't get a bowl of
hat.
Soup for that hat then.
You know what you're reminding me of? Jay Zawadzki once told me that he texted Rick Camp and said, hey, Speaks is a vegan now. You know? And that didn't last either.
No, it didn't. Well, yeah. At home.
You try things, though.
I try things.
You're very phasey.
Yeah,
I'm a little phasey, but I'm looking to improve.
Okay.
You know?
Constantly searching for improvement, yes. Adaptability.
Yeah,
you don't always stick with the things that you try.
Sometimes they're terrible ideas.
So the hat
being
just sits
a vegan, being a vegan was a terrible idea.
One of your worst.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not good for your health either.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea.
It's not good for your appetite or your enjoyment of life.
Restaurants.
Yeah. No disrespect to the vegans out there, but you guys are all doing it wrong.
Chicago Diner's real good as a vegetarian vegan
totally
spot.
Totally agree.
Really good.
Totally
I like seitan in the right setting. I like jackfruit.
Well, you pray to seitan.
Yeah. That's your hero.
You have a shrine to Satan in the office.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean the former hockey player, Miroslav Satan.
Of course. Satan draft?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I'll take the devil.
Oh,
I got him
man.
Number one overall.
What a power.
I got Bernstein.
Oh. Ooh. I mean, honestly.
Oh, God.
Excellent work, boys. Excellent, excellent, excellent work. Bears report with Mark Grody. What the hell is going on with Nate Davis? He'll give us his answer coming up in 20 minutes. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Everybody, we are live.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're having a little fun.
Mark Grody with the Bears report in 15 minutes. We will get to the bottom of why the downgrade in Nate Davis. He went from day to day. Now, week to week is the latest designation on Nate Davis. So we'll get to that in just a little bit.
Sometime in the 4 o'clock hour, let's talk about what it takes to be a manager, why Pedro Grifol was so bad at it, and why this firing had to happen, even with the terrible hand that he was dealt. Want to get into that with you at some point in the 4 o'clock hour after the Groats.
After Mark Grody, and then we've got Dave Wannstedt coming up. At 5 o'clock. It's not over yet, but it looks like Team USA, they are outscoring Serbia 28-12 in the fourth quarter. Steph Curry has 34 points with 9 made threes in a 40-minute basketball game and has kind of put Team USA on his back. Also, Joel Embiid's best game so far of the tournament. It's not over by any stretch, but they've erased a large, large deficit in this fourth quarter.
That guy is absolutely one of my favorite athletes of all time. It's like I should do the list just for fun sometime, Because like
favorite athletes ever, sports,
Sports. Just because of obviously how great he is, but how hard he has worked on it, how he's managed to carve out a career this long at his size in a sport like that, the skill set that he's put together and the toughness and just the constant ability to rise up and be electric in huge moments. It's really an astounding career.
It is. He also, and this isn't at all taking away from him, but there's some luck in it, right? He's the best ever at this skill that became the most valuable commodity in his sport. It's like weird. I sometimes think about it, like I went to broadcasting school. I didn't know if I was going to do sports on TV with like a newscast or play by play or talk or reporting. You didn't really know. And then the thing I gravitated to was talk and opinion. And then the industry kind of went the direction of talk and opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like newspapers, it's been harder, and play by play, it's been harder. You know, so it's like, so I kind of feel like lucky in that regard that the thing that I was best at, that I liked the most, is the direction the industry went, and the game has gone in the direction of the thing that Steph Curry is the best to ever do.
But also with the limited height and the limited physique, he had to find some way to be a consequential player. So it was the necessity of finding that skill and then just expanding it and expanding it and expanding it with like the joy of the hard work that he has. So I hear you. Like it does dovetail with the development of the game. That's for sure. But it's just, I just find him to be a very, very likable dude. Even the way you talked about like him and LeBron and how their history was a little more contentious at the beginning. Our friend Vincent Goodwill did a cool sit down with him in Vegas, like how he and LeBron, it was contentious and now they're enjoying each other. And here they are having a moment like that. And I didn't realize this till today. He's got a TV show coming out.
What's the show?
It's called Mr. Throwback. It is a mockumentary series coming on Peacock. How do I get Peacock, guys?
It's an app.
It is?
It's an on-demand service through NBC. Yeah, yeah, it's one of those.
And I can just find that?
Streaming service.
You can't find it. Right. Everyone else can.
Most people can find it, yeah, Ruben, honestly.
Ruben can.
Yeah.
But Mr. Throwback, it is. It's about Steph Curry as he reunites with a former middle school classmate. And Curry is like a great player, and this guy has become a shabby dealer of memorabilia, his middle school classmate. And so he's got to like decide whether he's going to help support his former classmate's memorabilia career as he tries to save his mediocre life. So that'll be interesting to see whether Steph Curry can pull that off. It's coming out on Peacock. It's called Mr. Throwback.
These guys, they have these multimedia careers and they're always trying to do new things. And LeBron's got a production company and KD's got a media venture. Travis Kelce just announced he's hosting a game show on Amazon. Are you smarter than a celebrity? So that's the kind of thing that is happening. But just the game has gone final.
Yeah.
32-15. Team USA outscored Serbia in the fourth quarter to win by 4. And Curry had 36. He had the free throws to ice it at the end. You know, what you're talking about for all-timers,
yeah,
there's just these like Team USA moments, right? Like Kobe in the gold medal game against Spain is a thing. Like that's it's not the number one thing on Kobe's resume, but it's a thing on Kobe's resume, right? Jordan and the Dream Team being the best player on the best team that people believe had ever been assembled. That moment
for Steph,
that first quarter and fourth quarter in an elimination game in an Olympics where he's never played on an Olympic team.
He's never had a chance to be here.
He's played for the FIBA team, but he's never played on Team USA. Yeah. But LeBron went right up to him when it ended and just like screamed in his face, was so clearly pumped. Then KD came over and gave him a huge chest pump. Like Steph Curry just had his signature Olympic moment.
That's awesome.
That was the top thing, really. That was not on his resume.
Yeah, and right now the team is all celebrating and they're gathered in a huddle and LeBron is talking to them and he's been the leader, obviously, and he's had some incredible moments earlier on in some of these games. And KD, obviously, and is going for his fourth gold?
Yeah, KD. And he became the all-time leading scorer.
Past Carmelo?
Yeah, all-time leading scorer for Team USA basketball.
But as they were huddled there, they're all gathered around Steph and like celebrating with Steph and like, I think it was Jason Tatum grabbing Steph's shoulders from behind and giving him a shake, and it's pretty cool. And now we get France and the USA in the gold medal game
because in Paris,
Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert working together earlier today to help France get by Germany. I thought for sure Germany was going to win that. Germany's been really good in this tournament.
It's pretty amazing if you're just a fan of basketball and basketball history to think about the fact that Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James were just in the closing lineup of a Team USA elimination game. And all of them were dominant forces in the fourth quarter of that game.
KD hit a couple of big threes.
Yeah. I mean, KD was an assassin. I don't know if he missed in the fourth quarter. Steph had the best game of his Olympic life. LeBron had the ball in his hands as the point guard the whole time. I mean, just think about the mileage and the hardware and the accolades. I mean, three of the 15 best basketball players of all time on the floor together. LeBron approaching 40, the other guys in their mid and late 30s, just still being the guys. And Embiid had a great stretch. He's in his prime. I'm not taking it away from the other guys, but just the idea of those three guys this late into their career being that dominant on that stage, leading that comeback, that is just really awesome, man.
Kevin Durant last night tweeted about his scoring record and said this: records are meant to be broken. I'll hold on to this until another great comes along and passes me up. Lisa Leslie, you are the gold standard in basketball. I appreciate your love and support throughout the years. Much love to you. It's all about the gold, baby. Let's get it, fellas. And he included a picture of the entire USA basketball team hanging out on some steps, on some staircase, and it's at night, and they've all got their gear with them, but they're just hanging out and chill. It is a really cool-ass picture of these dudes, because they've had all this downtime together amidst the games and stuff, and it's like, what meaningful, cool bonding time it is for them, like those guys that you're talking about. And I thought of it as you're describing those three dudes. That's why I love the Olympics. It's why I love the World Baseball Classic, man. When true greats come together and play with their heart and soul, it can make for really excellent sports. A lot more purity than what we sometimes get in a pro sports atmosphere.
Sometimes,
frankly.
Yeah. And listen, I know I'm taking a decent amount of deserved crap for the comparison to the Dream Team thing, but you saw the stat. There were, 8 other NBA players in the whole Olympics when the Dream Team was there in 92? There's 65 other NBA players on other teams, non-Team USA teams.
Yeah.
The Dream Team was obviously the most significant basketball team ever assembled in terms of what it did for the sport of basketball globally. And they boat raced everybody. The famous Charles Barkley line. I don't know a lot about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, just like, of course.
Was it a dude from Angola he just demolished on the fast break?
Yeah.
For no good reason?
Yeah. It was like, okay. Like, of course, the margin of victory for Team USA. But in terms of star players in their prime, peak of their powers, accomplishments, you know, Jordan had 2 titles at the time of the Dream Team. He finished with 6. Bird was done. Magic was basically done. There's a college guy, Mullen, on the team. This is LeBron, Steph.
College guy, Leitner.
Leitner. Yeah. I said Mullen. Excuse me.
I love Chris Mullen's game.
Yeah, but just a ridiculous collection of talent, man. Mm-hmm. So even though the margin of victory, obviously, much more narrow. Just an incredible basketball
team. Yeah, really, really cool. You know what? It's been a good couple of weeks for the Olympics. Here, the Olympics is having a good day. It's a come up for the Olympics. I think they might have some staying power.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'll probably watch again in 4 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying.
I'll see you in 4 years for the Olympics.
Yeah.
All right.
I was like,
maybe 2 for the winter.
Probably a pretty good investment by NBC. They should tell people that Peacock is a really good way to watch it.
You know? I'll pass that message along.
But did you hear, by the way, yesterday from our guy who got the tent for the Hard Knocks viewing? Did he get in touch with you yesterday?
No, I'm sure he really enjoyed it, though.
I want to talk to that guy.
Bears Report with Mark Grody. What the hell's going on with Nate Davis next on The Score?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started.
Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.